opportunity we have in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, for just a few minutes before we go for breakfast, I want to share with you about the reward for hard work is more work. And that more work is the work that was given to the disciples. Now, whoever you are, this job is a personal job. It's not for radical apostles who are in full-time ministry and who have gone to die on an island and eat mice for breakfast. It's for everybody who is a believer. Amen. And there are many ways in which this great commission is repeated. I know at least 12 different versions of the Great Commission where God was sharing through his great servants the importance of this very, very critical commandment. And that is the work that has been given to all of us, no matter what we do, whether you eat mice or not. You may eat hamburgers and somebody may be eating mice. No, I mean, I know missionaries who ate mice they were on an island and there was no food. I told you that story once, yeah. They ate 5 mice. They said what they had left to eat was 5 mice and some other things. So you may not be eating mice, but you are a very important part of this mission. And there are 2 ways in which you are part of the commandment. And I think that any church which departs from this is departing from the Holy Spirit, and you are departing from the help of God. All right. So I want to share with us this morning the version of the Great Commission. I know like 12 versions of the Great Commission, which I will not share with you in this camp meeting, but I will share with you one of them in Acts chapter 1 and verse 7. He said, when they therefore came together, they asked him, say, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus, once again, you see that the disciples were interested in politics. Immediately there is a diversion to do something good, not something evil, but something good which has its place and has its importance, but not the gospel. Right? So they immediately wanted to divert themselves into something good, but not the gospel. All right? So it is a good thing for us to become prosperous, but it's not the same as the gospel. If you put the cart before the horse, there will be no movement. You have to put the horse before the cart. Then there's movement. If you put the wrong one before the other, you get odd things which you can't control. So they wanted to do politics. And you see all over the world, many pastors go into politics, and I'm sure that some of them have got the call of God to do that. And many pastors today are doing business. And I'm sure some of them have the call of God, or all of them have the call of God to do that. But the call of God I'm seeing here doesn't include all these things. It focuses on preaching and winning the lost and teaching, building churches. Amen. Amen. So I believe that this is a great thing for us to focus on so that we can have good results when we get to heaven, which is not going to be so long from now. You never know when you'll be the next person to go to heaven. Nobody knows whose funeral is next. Yes, you may think yours is, you know, long time to come, but you'll be shocked to find yourself. I hear when people die, they are in denial for some time. Like they can't believe they are dead. Yes. I read one of these stories. It said, it takes time to accept that I'm not around. Yeah. It takes time. So, and I'm sure it must be a shock. Because you see that you are not able to communicate with the people anymore. You're not able to do anything. You're not able to go back. You're not able to, say anything about anything. Or change anything about anything. You know? So, anyway. This is the more work that God is giving to us, Acts 1. And it's not politics that I see. It's not business that I see. I would have done business. I know a lot of businesses. I would have had a mortuary in Ghana, you know. It would have been a very good business. And a funeral home. I mean, I have so many ideas of things I could have done. You get what I'm saying? That I believe would have worked. Without any government contract or anything, I would have been very rich with other so many businesses that I would have sold ladies' clothes. Yes. But I know those who buy clothes. I'm not going to sell no man's trousers. He's not buying no nothing. I'd have sold ladies' clothes, shoes, and all the things they like. Without any government contract. I've analyzed what works. Yeah. Analyze what works. No, I'll never sell men's clothes. I'll sell ladies, things for girls. Yeah. I have all the so small things they like and all that. Plenty. I'll be the center of attraction. They will all come to me and spend money from their husband's money. They'll come and spend it in the shop. So, I have lots of ideas for business, but I am not pursuing them. You know, I'm pursuing the gospel work. All right? And the kingdom of God and what I can see. You see, I can only go by what I can see and understand. And not by what I think. Because it's dangerous to trust what you think. It's very important to not trust yourself, but to trust what the word of God says more than you trust yourself. Do you understand? It's very dangerous to do what you feel and what you think or what you are inclined to. It's better to trust God than to trust how you are. You get what I'm saying? Because we are all a certain way. But God arrests us and changes our direction. So that direction is based on what we are seeing. And when I look through the Bible, I can see that the reward for hard work is to be given more work. And I can see that the more work the disciples were given after 3 years of suffering with Jesus was more work. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. And I mean, you really feel sorry for the disciples to have been given this more work. But it's not to be sorry, feel sorry for them. Rather, it is their blessing. Now, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Then you see the commission. It says, but you shall receive power. That's the but is because of the business and the, what do you call it, that politics that they had suggested. That are going to restore the kingdom to Israel. And Israel is going to become a nation again and not be under the Romans. When we go to Israel, that is if you people will do the covenant that we made yesterday. Yeah. Because if you do it, I know that there are so many flights to Israel from America. It's very, very cheap for you to come. So yours will be the easiest. It will be even me meeting you there. That would be the whatever. And I told you that it will be in groups because when we are a lot, it's not nice because there will be so many buses. By the time you come, this bus, we'll be waiting for you. If we have finished talking. And the Israel that I do, we walk. So you can't bring high heels for that. We are going to walk through many places. Yes. So if you people are able to do whatever, the 5,000 camping members, then you've got your deal. Amen. We'll go to Israel till all the members are finished. All right. Now this is the This is the commission right there. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come on you, and you shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Okay, highlights of this commission. Highlights, number one, the Holy Ghost's presence is necessary again, you can see. So tongues, the Holy Spirit is given for the commission. So anytime you hear yourself speaking in tongues, remember the reason why you speak in tongues. It's for you to do the rest of the work. That is your reward. Okay? So the first highlight is the Holy Ghost. Second highlight is power is needed for conversion. People can't change except there is power. Look, some of the habits are not easy to change. If you ever meet people with different difficulties, sexual ones, drugs, everything, if you are a pastor, you feel a lot of compassion for people. Yes. And you never speak about things you don't understand in a certain way. Let me just give two examples. Let's take drugs. You know, it has been shown how difficult it is to stop taking drugs. One experiment, they put mice, they give mice food, and then they give them drugs as well. So they fed them with cocaine, right? And then after they became addicts, the mice became drug addicts, cocaine addicts. Then they kept them in a room without food and without the drugs for some weeks until they were very, very hungry and very, you know, much in need of food and then the drugs. Then put them in a room with, here is the food and here is the drugs. They left the food and they went for the drugs. The mice left the food and went for the drugs. Yeah, it shows you how strong it is. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Homosexuality is like that as well. Once you tamper with a person's orientation of sexual, whatever, it changes. It's very difficult to, you see the person, it's like, I like you. I've seen a boy, I've seen a girl. So I don't like the girl, I like the boy. He's a boy, but he likes a boy. And it's not a small thing. You get it? So without power, people cannot come away from the devil's strongholds. Yes. And we need power conversions. If you listen to some of the First Love children's testimonies of the things that they were doing and how they got saved, you can see that a sort of power has rescued the person. And if we pray as a church, power will be available through us to save many people. That's the work that we do. So every time we pray in tongues, you must know that power is coming through you. And your words are not as weak as you may even feel in your body. If you feel hungry and you are talking, you feel tired, you are talking, it looks like it's not powerful. Sometimes when I meet people and I see the effects of some of the things I have said and preached, I'm surprised. I realized there was a lot of power, but I wasn't feeling powerful. How many have sometimes preached, you are not feeling powerful, but a power seems to have worked? Yes, that's something that happens. But you must know that there is power. And so once you've prayed in tongues, once you've prayed and you pray and the Holy Spirit is in your life, you must know that you are going to be used by God. And your words are powerful. They are not just raps. You are not just rapping people or coaxing them.
That's right.
You are powerful. And your words are powerful. And so that is why your silence is criminal. Your silence is wickedness. And we as a church are a powerful church. So our silence, if we are in America and we are silent, it is criminal. That's why Jesus told the man, wicked man. You can't get away with your self-righteous argument. Those of you who are used to arguing at home, you must, you don't take it to heaven. No. Don't take it to heaven. Because some of you, no one can win an argument with you. You are very fast. Yesterday I told you about a guy who was arguing, you know. Yeah, and it's like, you always win arguments and you are fast with thoughts and ideas and your words come more quickly. Your words are more like diarrhea. And maybe your partner's words are more like constipated bullets that are coming. Whereas yours are like diarrhea, it's just flowing. Don't take it to heaven. Oh. Tell your neighbor, don't take your argumentative behavior to heaven. It will not work there at all. It will not work at all. It may work on your husband, it may work on your wife, but it will not work in heaven. I'm telling you, it will not work. They will naked you right there and undress you and show you what you are. Yes, they will naked you right there. Are you listening?
Yes.
Yeah. Then highlight number three. The uniqueness of witnessing. Witnessing. You see, in each version of the commission, there is a different slant on what to say. In this one, he talks about you witnessing. Now, a witness is someone who says not a lecture, not a doctrine, not what you've been taught, but what you have personally seen and experienced. Yeah. So in this version of the Great Commission, you see that. That's why you see that the Great Commission is not for radical apostles who eat mice on the beach when they are dying. Yes. Yes. 5 missionaries, they were found on the beach dead. They were surviving their ship. They had a shipwreck. They were on the beach. And they wrote, "We are left with 5 mice to eat. We are left with this. We are left with this water to drink." They wrote it and they were found. They were dead bodies were found. Yes. You may not be eating mice. You may be eating McDonald's hamburgers. You get what I'm saying? But you have a witness, a story of what you have seen. And that is for everybody. You don't have to go to school to be a witness. You don't have to be a pastor to be a witness. It's what you've seen. Have you ever been called as a witness to court for a crime? Huh? Yeah. I have. Yeah. I was there one day, police knocked my door because the night before there was some scene across. I was watching it. They made at 2 a.m. There's this guy quarreling with his, I don't know what he was, wife or girlfriend. And then he took his car and decided to use his car as a battering ram. So he would reverse and come and drive into the house. Pow! And the whole house would shake. Then go forward and back. Pow! Straight onto the door. And the house would shake. Push. And I was watching, I was saying, these people are crazy. Yeah, these guys are just mad. Yeah. Anyway, so in a few minutes, the guys finished battering the house. I think the woman was really shaking. And she was hiding in the house, afraid that the house was going to come down. And then suddenly there were about 7 police cars there. But the guy had dashed. So I was there when the police came. "Hello. Did you see anything yesterday?" I said, "Me? What time?" Now, you see, I'll not tell you how our discussion ended. But you see, I don't need to, it's not something I'm learning in a school. to say what I saw. Because I saw the guy, this guy was crazy. He was so angry with the girl. Yeah, they had an argument, and then he took his car and was uproar. It was about 2 a.m. Everybody should be asleep. But I was praying. So I said, like, well, yeah, they said, what is happening? So, ladies and gentlemen, to be a witness, what has God done for you? Right here in America. Yes. And you see, old people, older people, you cannot muzzle or tie the mouth of the young people. Because what God has done for them is different from what God has done for you. So what they are going to say is different from what you will say. So even though you are witnessing, you can't stop, you can't let them not speak. They also have to speak. And there are people who will listen to them when they talk. Most of the people who come to church and are stable are not talked to by me. And there are a lot of people here. It's not talked to by me. It's talked to by somebody. So witnessing shows the personal involvement of every single person and party. It's not for apostles who eat mice on the beach. Do you understand what I'm saying? Ask your neighbor, are you an apostle who is eating, a missionary eating mice on the beach? Your last 5 mice. Your last 5 mice. Are you eating your last 5 mice? Hey, this is witnessing. It's not about those who are eating their last 5 mice. It is whatever God has done for you, how Jesus has changed your life, and what has happened in your personal experience. That is witnessing. That's what it means to be a witness. Testimonies, what you saw. Testimonies are powerful. Witnessing is powerful. And we must speak. So to not speak, you know, and to say you didn't see when you saw, it's wickedness, it's criminal. That's why I'm not going to tell you what I told the police. Yeah. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
So we want to hear the way you will speak. You know, if I come and I speak, somebody may listen to me here in America and say, oh, who is this African who's come from whatever? If you speak, it may feel, depending on where you are from and what your accent is like. You get it? So that is why God expects everybody to be a witness, because there are people, as soon as you have a different accent, their 7 antennas go up, and then that is it. And the same thing in Ghana or Africa, if you come with an American accent and you speak, whether you are black or white, you are seen as a white man. Yes. Once you speak, glory to God. It's like, oh, it's a white man who's come, even though he's a black man. Many African Americans don't know that they are seen as white men. Are you still around?
Yes.
Yeah. So I am now zeroing in on your personal involvement. I'm zeroing in on the people in your community. I'm zeroing in on the people in your house. I'm zeroing in on the lonely people who are waiting for somebody to come and talk to them. I'm zeroing in on what you can do for God and for Jesus. I'm zeroing in on how you have a role to play. It's not about an apostle who is eating his last 5 mice on the beach. It's personal. It's personal. And I was touched when I was in Italy. The pastors and the members, you see, many of the people in Italy came from the sea. they came, you know, the people who are crossing from Africa through the Mediterranean. Yeah. And the people who drown in, a lot of the people are, that's how they came there. Yeah. And they are, and most, many of the people who are even pastors, that is how they came there. And they've been converted. And they become, and they are bringing ministry to people. Yeah. From their own personal lives and experiences. It's marvelous. You know, so that it's not somebody from America or somebody with a perfect life or whatever who can even explain certain things. It is the practical people on the ground whom God has touched. And girls, you be surprised that you can tell another person about Jesus. Yes, sometimes a boy will be more interested to listen to you because you are so beautiful. You get it? And you look so gentle. You know, you just be wondering, as he's looking at you, you'll just be wondering, what is this angel that is talking to me? And whatever you say, he will listen to you. Yes. Your beauty and your attitude, you must do your hair when you are going to do witnessing. You don't just go with a, don't go looking like a boy. You get it? It's a total presentation. Yes. And you witness and you bring people to Jesus. Some people are just amazed that someone so nice would just talk to me, you know, and lead me to the Lord, you know. So all of us have a role to play. And some people, if a boy witnesses to the person, to this guy, he will not listen. But if a girl witnesses, he will say, yeah, man, I like what you're saying, you know. I'm going to church with you. My God, I come with you. I can't believe it. I can't believe it's true. So there's none of the other 12 versions of this commission, do you see, have this element. They all talk about different things, but this one is the one that brings you in. Yeah, that you must tell a personal story. And I remember years ago when I heard Bishop Duncan Williams preaching about his salvation, you know, it was so dramatic, and how he was into drugs and he was doing this and doing that in nightclubs here and there, and then demons told him to put his hand in a fire and he bent off his three fingers, and his three fingers are gone. So he lifted up his three fingers and you see a man without the middle fingers, and we are just, I mean, amazed and electrified is the word. Yeah, I tell you. And as he would preach and share, it is so powerful. And I mean, people used to give their lives to Christ when he would just tell his story. Wow. His stories, yeah. Very, very, very much. And what he was doing was witnessing. He's just saying what happened to him. So actually, it confused me because I felt that, look, I haven't done all this. Haven't put my hand in the fire. My fingers are still there. And all this. So what am I going to say? But I realized with time that I have my own personal way of saying what has happened to me. Yeah.
Powerful.
Yeah. Everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a story. And that is a great blessing for us. Amen. Is that not so? Yeah. So your story is needed in here in America. Don't think of any island here. This is the island your story is needed. Your church, it can be bigger. And that is why he says go, because sometimes you have to go somewhere else, to another town or to another place, right here in America. You get what I'm saying? Where your story will change other people's lives. They just can't believe there's somebody like you, and that somebody like you is somebody like them. They can't, they don't even believe it. They can't even understand how it can be possible. So please, those of you who are argumentative, who want to feel that You are not the one who's supposed to do this great commission, but it's an apostle who is eating his last five mice. Don't argue with this one, because this one is saying, you shall be witnesses. You shall say what you saw and what you know and what you experienced in God. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Can you do that?
Yes.
Are you sure you can do that?
Yes.
You can do that.
Yes.
You can do that. Many people that will come to Jesus.
Amen.
When you speak. Yeah. And never think people know. There's a young man. I call him All Dead People Are Still Alive. Actually, that's what he calls himself. You know, all dead people are still alive. And the reason is that I went to preach, and my story, but I don't have all those wild stories, but I have a few ones. And I preached, my topic was all dead people are still alive. That anyone who is dead is alive. But neither they can't reach you. I said, Lazarus is alive. The rich man is alive. Everybody you know who is dead is alive. Billy Graham is alive. And Billy Graham said it. One day you hear that I'm dead, but don't believe it. I'll be more alive than I ever was. Yeah. So, and I told the story of Jesus and Lazarus. And the story of Lazarus and the rich man and so on. And this is a young man in Ghana. And he said he had never heard it before. He had never heard of a rich man. Never heard of Lazarus. Never heard that the rich man went to hell. Lazarus also went to heaven. He had not heard it before. He was in the University of Science and Technology in Ghana. The assumptions we make, that people know things, it is wickedness. Yes. And then also, I did three altar calls before he came. The first altar call, the people came. Then I did the second one. I said, whatever, come. Then at the end, and he was standing there, he was into drugs, whatever he was into. And he was standing at the back there. And I said, this is the last call. The last call. And he just moved to the front. He's in the Bible school now. He said, all he wants to do is to be a missionary, to serve God. Yes. And what I am saying is that don't assume. You see, this story tells you two things, at least. Number one, don't assume that people know these things. I'm so surprised to hear people saying they didn't know of Lazarus and the rich man. Yeah. And it's one of my frequent topics at crusades. The second thing he taught me was that third altar call, he came. So suppose I had done only one look, because the rest of you can go to hell. You think I'm going to be begging you to come to God? Yeah. You think I'm going to beg you to come to Jesus? Go to hell. I've done it. I've finished with you. Second one, he didn't come. And then finally, this is the last call. I'm giving you the last chance. And then he comes, walking. I didn't know him. And when he met me, he said, you preach all dead people are still alive. Lazarus is still alive. I said, wow. So, please, your story is necessary. The next highlight of this commission is, please, I hope you realize that it's your personal story. Okay, the next highlight is that it shows the four phases of the commission in your personal life. It shows the four phases of the commission in your personal life. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the uttermost part. The Great Commission has four phases, including phase one, which is Jerusalem, where you are at. So a quarter of the commission is right here. One quarter. Jerusalem is one out of four. Art students, you can calculate, you find out that one over four is one quarter. And what's the percentage? You're not sure. 25%. Is that not so? Yeah. So Jerusalem is America, where we are, where you are. But it could actually even be your city or your state. And Judea could be the next city, because America is a continent. So it could be another state. Yes. So within America alone, if we are fulfilling the Great Commission, we can easily fulfill 50% of the Great Commission in your life by following Jerusalem and Judea. Yes, 50%. At least 50%. Yes. And then Samaria is probably going to give us 75%, and Samaria will be Central and South America. Yes. Because it is near you, but different people. Because if you remember when Jesus went to the woman of Samaria, she asked him that, how can it be that you being a Jew will speak to me being a Samaritan? Yes. Yes. So a Spanish-speaking Central American or South American usually would not be spoken to by a pure American. True or not true? Yes. So that is why I've been urging you, and I believe that many of us are going to, many probably younger ones, are going to take up the Samaritan part of the Great Commission. Hallelujah. So you see, it's still a long way from, and when you go to most of these countries, you all use American cars. There's a lot of Americanization of South America, because Latin and South America, because it's so near. It's only Argentina which has a European touch. They have smaller cars and they have European cars and smaller things. But apart from that, all is like it's an American thing. It goes to a type of America. So it's like a Samaritan. Are you with me?
Yes.
Are you there or you are leaving?
Yes.
So how many can see that 75% of the Great Commission is within striking distance? Yes. It's within striking distance for us. And that is why I asked Bishop Joel, leave New York. Leave New York. Because you see, it comes to me, I sense the need to move on. I sense the need to move on. And you see, most of God's commandments are not difficult. It's like in steps. Because if you haven't gone to Judea, if you can't move from New York to Atlanta, why would you be thinking of going to KJB in Ghana or Dawadawa number 2 in the northern part of Ghana? I mean, I don't understand. You can't move to Atlanta. Then what about Dawadawa number 2? Do you know Dawadawa number 2? You can Google it and find it. It's a town. I wonder if you Google it and see whether it will come up. Dawadawa number 2. Check and see whether Google knows Dawadawa. Dawadawa number 1. Is your internet working? I need you to check, please. I want to check whether it's on the internet. Dawadawa, 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 number 1. Dawadawa number 1 or Dawadawa number 2. Has it appeared on the internet? Is it there? What does it say? Number 1 and number 2?
Yeah.
Is it there? Does it exist? What does it say?
Dawadawa numbers 1 and 2. Right here. Dawadawa numbers 1 and 2. Ghana place names. Let me see. Yeah. Ghana place names. And then I'm opening it.
Does it say whether there are hotels, there are tourism, there's any place, sites to visit, where to stay, taxis, resorts, anything?
No, there's no place like that.
What about Google Atlanta and let's see if you can find. Can you Google Atlanta and see if you find anything about Atlanta? Busiest airport in the world. Wow. So listen, you are seeing four phases. And does it involve you or it involves apostles who are eating their last five mice on a remote beach? No. It involves us here. Don't think I'm preaching about something that is, you know, for some other people. At least this Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Now, the uttermost part of the earth also involves, can involve you. It's within striking distance. Through your support of Healing Jesus campaign, the uttermost parts of the earth are going to be touched by you fulfilling the Great Commission. The commission is within striking distance. Now all four are within striking distance. The Jerusalem is within striking distance. Judea is within striking distance. Samaria, we've seen, is within striking distance. And the uttermost part, by being a Ben MP partner and being a giver and supporting, uttermost parts of the earth are taken on powerfully. Oh, you are not clapping properly. How many of you are shocked that suddenly the whole Great Commission is within striking distance of all of us right here in America? It's amazing. Totally amazing. And so with this in mind, I want us to live our lives, huh? With only this. Don't have a mind, I have to have four children. I must bring up three children. My child must go to this university. These are not good aims. Have an aim to fulfill the Great Commission, and all other things will be added onto your life as a side effect. Sit down, I'll show you a secret. Some of us here, by serving God and being pastors and being faithful in the church, you were not thinking, that's what people don't realize. Many people were not thinking of how to bring up their children dancing ballet, playing classical music, speaking French, doing this. You were in the church. Now people are surprised that their children are more spiritual and more interested in God than you yourselves. And you see, it's a side effect of serving God. And it's like something that you can't even do for yourself. If you want to do, you can't do it for yourself. And the children have grown up and are growing up to like God. You see, so people are even surprised that like a man of God or a pastor like myself, the children like me. But if your child is, oh, the person I like is this funny person somewhere, you see that it means he's heading in that direction. But that's what he admires. That's what he admires. And it is not your goal, but it has happened as a side effect and benefits that God knows that the greatest thing to break your heart will be your children going astray. No matter the money you have. No matter the money you have, your children are some way, I tell you, you'll be sitting there with all your money and it's for nothing. Money cannot, you don't have anything to do with your money again. So people are shocked. And I know the parents, they like it. When they see their parents, when they see their children with me in the church, working, moving around, this one, listening to podcast, listening to the music, they like the music. You know, when I was here yesterday, Some of the children came around. I asked them, so which song do you want Ida to sing? They said, let's sing it to the ends of the world. This one, sing this. I said, hey, these are the songs they like. They know the songs. They know the song. They want the songs. Wow. It's a blessing. And it's not an aim, a goal, but it's like God is saying, have this. All your children could have turned into monsters here in this America that you are. You don't have any idea. You don't know what is a monster. I don't want to say things to give ideas to people, but if I speak now and I give you examples, you'll be sad. And I don't want to give examples or ideas. Many are surprised. It's like the child is rather, they have their own world of the church. Yes, they have their own world. When I go to Italy, I have these, their children, they were like this in our church in Switzerland. They come, they are my bodyguards. Yeah, they have made themselves personal bodyguards. When I arrive, they are like, they are my bodyguards. We are waiting for you. They send me messages. We have seen Jupiter. We have seen this in the star. Are you also seeing it? These are my friends. Is it not a blessing? And these are side effects of you who have been preaching, doing the work of God many for years. And God said, okay, I bless you. As you try to look after somebody's child, I'll take over your child for your life. You see my blessing. So I want to suggest to us to dedicate ourselves continuously to his reward for us, which is his work for us. Yes. His reward for us. His work for us. Yes. And that is, this is my work. And it's not out of your reach. It's not something for me or for an apostle who has left with his last 5 mice. On the beach. No, but these are the extreme type of pasta. Yeah. I read it in a book, Oswald something. It's Oswald Chambers. Yeah. It's Oswald Smith. Yeah. I read it out. So, guys, we are left with our five mice to eat. Can you imagine having a mouse sandwich or a mouse bite? Mouse beggar. Raw mouse. But you, God is going to bless you with innumerable side effects of this great mission. And I want us to give ourselves unreservedly. Amen. Unreservedly. Yeah. Unreservedly. Amen. To this great mission. Yes, this great mission. It's, thank God for William Carey. Thank God for these great people. But I tell you, right here in America, you can place your five fingers on that great commission. For Jerusalem is within striking distance. Judea is within striking distance. Samaria is within striking distance. And the uttermost parts of the earth are within striking distance. Give the Lord a shout of hallelujah. Yeah. And that's his reward for us. That's his reward for us. And every time you see being done, outermost parts of the earth being done, you just know that I'm the, you tell somebody, do you know that I'm the financier of this thing? Do you know that I'm the financier of this thing? Don't tell them you are one of the financiers. Just say, do you know I'm the financier of this thing? Because it's still true. It is still true. You are one of it. You are financing it. You are behind it. Yes. You know I'm the one behind this thing. You know I'm the one who paid for this thing. Wow. Don't tell them that you gave only $10. Just tell them that you know that I'm the one behind this thing. Yes. Don't disclose the amount. Just tell them that you know I'm the one who paid for that thing. Wow. What a blessing. Sit down.
Ready at 20, ready for the war. I'll be ready at 20 for the work of God. There is nothing I can't do for the Lord. There is nowhere that's too far. No battle I can't fight. Ready at 20. Let's give ourselves to this glorious mission unreservedly. Let us never think that our time, our strength, our families are our own. Let us dedicate them all to God and to His work. Let us give ourselves wholly, that our profiting may appear. Ready at 20. I'll be ready at 20, ready for the war. Ready at 20. I'll be ready at 20 for the work of God.
These are the words of William Carey.
Are we justified in staying here while so many are perishing without means of grace in other lands? We must take every chance of doing good to the lost. Oh yeah. We will be laboring, we'll be traveling day and night. Ready at 20. I'll be ready at 20 for the work of God. We must instruct. We must teach, exhort, rebuke, and preach the word.
William Carey.
With all long suffering and an anxious desire for the lost. We must be instant in prayer for the pouring out of the sweet Holy Spirit upon all the people. Ready at 20. I'll be ready at 20, ready for the war. Ready at 20.
Are you ready?
I'll be ready at 20 for the work of God. is worthwhile.
It's worth it.
To push ourselves with all our might in promoting the gospel and the kingdom of our Christ. Ready at 20. Oh yeah. I'll be ready at 20, ready for the war. Ready at 20. I'll be ready at 20 for the work of God. Oh.
Adoniram. Adoniram Jackson.
God is gracious. Do not run away from him.
Are you going to run away?
A few more days.
A few more days.
And our work down here will be done.
Wow.
When it's done for eternity. Your lifespan is irrevocable. It remains to be contemplated, yeah. Through all eternity, ready at 20. I'll be ready at 20, ready for the war. Ready at 20. I'll be ready at 20 for the work of God.
Adoniram Jackson, missionary to Burma.
The days go by, and they are gone forevermore. It is too late to mend the days that are past. Each day must be marked with such usefulness and be clothed with such a garment that we will love to wear for all eternity. Oh yeah. I'll be ready at 20 for the work of God. Ready at 20.
Are you ready at 30?
I'll be ready at 20 for the work of God. Yes, I will. I'll be ready at 20 for the work of God. Yes, I will. I'll be ready at 20. I'll be ready to build. I'll be ready at 20. Ready to serve. I'll be ready at 20, ready to fight. I'll be ready at 20, I'll be ready to travel. I'll be ready at 20, ready to go. I'll be ready at 20, I'll be ready to preach. I'll be ready at 20, I will be ready to teach. I'll be ready at 20, ready to witness. I'll be ready at 20, ready to go. I'll be ready at 20, ready for Samaria. Ready for Judea. Ready to the go to the end of the world. I'll be ready at 20. I'll be ready, 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 ready. Oh, oh,
oh. Hallelujah. Sit down. All right. Now, highlight number five, the uttermost parts, the corners, and the islands are part of the commission. It's a very important point. The uttermost parts of the earth, the corners, the islands are part of this commission. You see, the word uttermost cannot be more clear than it is. Uttermost, most distant, the furthest, the most extreme corners must be in our resume, in our agenda, in our manifesto. There is nothing more clear than the word uttermost. And that's what Healing Jesus Crusade stands for. So as I speak, right here, we are creating, you know, equipment that can go to the islands. Because the islands by their nature have, you cannot drive there. And they tend to be isolated. And whatever is happening there happens there. Nobody can change it. And so this word, the uttermost, is cannot be more clear than it is. And if you claim you don't understand it, you can argue, but in heaven, I've told you, there are people who are wilder than you at arguments, and you'll be stripped. They'll naked you there, and you will just, there'll be no talking at all. Those of you who are used to arguing at home and having your way, people have been silenced, no more talking. The word uttermost cannot be more clear. So islands, corners, ends. You see, that is another of the commission uses ends of the earth. But this one is the uttermost parts of the earth. So we must do that. And so one of the expenses of the crusade is this particular island thing, because we tried to go to island, we were unable to go, like Madagascar, we couldn't go. So now we have to have everything in containers. Yeah. The whole crusade is in containers. That will go in a container ship to the island. And then once on the island, cars, truck, stage, lights, generators, equipment, whatever, is on the island. So that we are actually about more than halfway in paying for and building all these things. It's different from all the things that we have. And to be within striking distance of these islands, you need to have all these. So I don't want to worry you with the cost of things. It's so high, and if you say it sounds absurd. So I don't want to disturb you, but I want you to understand that if we are taking the commission seriously, then you have to know that uttermost part cannot be more clear. You see, and in the army, orders are orders. You see, some people call this the last order. And it's in the army, you know that orders are in place till they are revoked. And it is your duty to know the order. There is nothing in the army about saying, I didn't know this was an order. It's not. You see, you can argue in your house with your wife or your husband, but you can't argue in heaven. They will naked you, or even in the army, they will naked you right now. It's not an excuse to not know the orders. And this is an order, and it's so clear. I don't know what else you want to say. So I have to take it as my personal responsibility to go to corners of the earth and try to at least fulfill what I believe is the commission. Can I have an amen from somebody? And your hand is in that pie. I say your hand is in that pie. Yeah. And in fact, we are building those things right here in this place here. Yeah. Right here in Orlando. It's being constructed. Yeah. So it's a lot of different things to be able to do what we are doing. It's not a small thing. And your hand and your pie, man. That's why when you have is a, so let your church members even support with $10 for that, and you are not doing, or even you have been funny, your phone is dead, your this is this or this. It has a very funny feeling with it. It's something. Yeah. It has a very funny feeling that it leaves, you know. Yeah. So I want you to have this mind and know that one of the highlights is that word uttermost. It means corners. It means go. Just a few weeks ago, somebody sent me, one of our bishops, you know, he has his, an engine has started working in him. He says he doesn't want to stay where he's staying anymore. He wants to go to an island. Wow. Leave the city where the church is. He wants to go to an island. So he sent me the name of some island. I've not heard of it before. He said, oh, it's a place. And he sent me pictures. These are people here. There are people here. These are the language they speak here. They are there. I've not heard of it before since I was born. And I'm over 50. I've not heard that word before. It's a place. But you see, if the Holy Spirit is in you, a time comes, you see that you will not be happy with Jerusalem. You want the Judea of your life. A time comes, you see that you want Samaria to also hear. And then you also see that the uttermost part is part of your work. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can I have an amen?
Amen.
All right. And I believe that is the last point, is that traveling. Yes. So phlegmatics who don't like movement and who don't like change, please know that traveling, either, is it not a part of the song? We'll be traveling. There's something like that in the song. Where's Danny Boy? We
need laboring, we'll be traveling day and night.
Yeah.
Ready at 20.
We'll be laboring.
We'll be laboring, we'll be traveling day and night.
Mm. We'll be laboring, we'll be traveling. Yes. Yes. That's missionary work. Missionary work. Beautiful. Is it fantastic? We'll be laboring. Because how do you go from Jerusalem to Judea? You have to travel to Judea. How do you go from Judea to Samaria? You have to travel. How do you go from Samaria to the uttermost part of it? You have to travel. You have to get a ticket, a ship, a plane, a car, something. It's part of the commission. So if you sense within yourself that engine that I'm okay here, I've done enough here, I want to move, maybe God is trying to move you to another state. Don't be so, I mean, permanent in all your things. You, Abraham and others, they were always moving. Movement. The Spirit is moving. Don't be stuck. If you had been stuck in, what town were you in? Long Island. Your life would be different.
True. Is it not true? Very true, Bishop. I've been stuck in Elmont, in our little house, and with a little few people in church, with urban people who think they know everything. But it's great in Las Vegas, where we have people, Sin City. It's beautiful. Thank you.
Do you know God is wondering why you haven't crossed the border into Mexico yet? Do you know God is wondering why you have not crossed into Mexico yet? Tell somebody, God is wondering why you have not crossed over into Mexico up to this time. We should have been having some Mexican beloveds all over the place. Look, shh. I don't want to say something, but let me tell you something. Okay. I don't know if I was with Dr. Nosh then. I remember one time I was in a hotel in South America somewhere. Who was I with? Anyway. And so I came down to the lobby and I saw some Americans. We were all sitting in the lobby, about three guys. And then they were all going through albums, big albums, you turn. So I was wondering, what are these people doing here? And then my interpreter or whoever told me that they are here looking for wives. And so the albums are, you know, wife, possible wives that they are just going through the albums. I mean, they are flown in from the States. White people, Americans. Yes. And they said, and he said, shh. He said that the wives there are more humble than the American ones. So they've come to get humble wives from here. So they were going to the album, see this one, no, let's tell this one. And if this one, then they call the person. Wow! Samarian wives. Some of you may have had even happier marriages. It's true. Because marriage, one of the main things is humility. Yeah. After some time, you don't notice a lot of things, but you notice the humility affects you. Because instead of being a humble, flowing, whatever, you are a proud, stiff, looking at us through your glasses, your reading glasses, contagious. I tell you, people, you don't know what you are missing. In fact, every time you obey God, you just get shocked and say, hey, so I would have missed all this. That's how the call of God is. It's like you keep on finding out things you would have missed if you hadn't come. I wouldn't be standing here if I hadn't come with faith. That's winter to Dr. Nosh's place. We are going to start a church. Like, where do we go? Manhattan, this, that. I don't even know why we went to Manhattan. Went up to the top somewhere, some small room, rented it with six people, and said, this is why the church must be here. Hey, it's amazing. With faith. Huh? So, I think we may not know what we would have seen in maybe Mexico. Maybe the Mexican church would have been even bigger. Yeah. With more wives, more husbands. You, some of you ladies who are not getting husbands to marry, you will be surprised that a Mexican girl said that, as for me, what I want is an African girl. A black beauty. A buxom majesty. Yeah. When we went to Korea, some of the ladies who went along to Korea, when they were walking in the market, you know, and the ladies who were selling, when they go into a shop, the ladies were selling clothes, and they would hold their butt. Hey! They hold their butt and say, hey, is it? Because they don't have any at all. It is. It's not there. Beauty, bugs of majesty.
Hey.
as you are walking among your brethren, they don't appreciate you, not knowing that there are people who are just ready to just touch you and say, wow! Is it real? As they were buying the clothes, the ladies, they were like, ah, wow! Buxom majesties. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Traveling. I said traveling is one of the highlights of the Great Commission. Yes, it's one of the highlights. And you mustn't forget it. And then missionary, the last highlight is that missionary work. Yes, you can see missionary work in this commission. Because he mentions places that only a missionary can go. And a missionary is someone whose mission is the mission. It's not an economic migrant. It's not a refugee. It's a mission. It's someone whom has fallen on the stone. And has not the stone has fallen on him. When the stone has fallen on you, that's when you are a refugee. Or an economic migrant, something has happened to you. But a missionary is something who is he's making something happen. That's the difference between a missionary and a refugee and an economic migrant. You are falling on the stone and not that the stone has fallen on you. They are different things. How many realize that these are different things? Yes. So missionary work is part of this great commission that God has given us. All right? Father, thank you for the blessing of this morning and of all that you are speaking to us about. We are grateful. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, we are going to take an offering. We go for a break and then we come back for a very important session in just an hour. We just take a short break. We'll take a longer break later, but this is going to be a short break for breakfast. Amen. Amen. So please, you know, we don't have much time, and we flew here all the way. Some of you, it was cheaper for you, but it was very expensive for me to come here because they said it's a spring break, it is a Orlando, it's a holiday, whatever. So all the people asking, it's a holiday, I said, which holiday? What are you talking about? But they thought we are coming for some special holiday, something in Orlando, because I think this place is just for happiness and blowing time, yeah. But I didn't know that. I knew that we were coming for a camp, so. Yeah, but we are blessed and happy to be here. How many are happy to be here? All right. Now, yesterday, I was told that only 400 people had gone on to the MVNA, but here today is 800. But we should all be. You know, no matter what you already do, because a lot of people have been supporting Healing Jesus Christ and do already, apart from all these things. But I want you, Reverend Payne, just $10. Your $10 I need every month as a Ben MP. Beautiful, exciting, nice, mood-changing partner. Apart from anything else that you do, your tithe, your days, your Healing Jesus campaign support, I want your Ben MP support. Just $10. What do you think? I think in Ghana it's 10 cities or 20 cities. Something like that. That's what I want you to do. If you do that, it will be of some use because it can help, you know, for a crusade to happen practically. It can pay for things if we do it. And it's your uttermost part of the Earth Commission. It's your hand is in it fully. Yeah. So every day of your life, you see that you are in the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. Working on it. Amen. Amen. All right. So how many are yet to do it, but haven't finished doing it? Because there's more than 800 people here. So how many have not yet done it? But you are going to do it. Yeah. Please do it. What do they need to do? Some people are lifting up their hands. What do they need to know? You've shown everybody. But maybe those people came late. Because they are sitting towards the back.
So please, at the back, we'll be standing there. Dr. Nash and myself. So see us. Please let me see back.